Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this morning from the first scripture reading, Isaiah 53, and I read especially as the text verse for the sermon, I read verse 7, Isaiah 53, verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He writes at the top of the sermon, as the theme of the sermon, the death of the Lord. 3 points: as a lamb cut off, and with the wicked. The theme is the death of the Lord. 3 points. First point, as a lamb. The second point, cut off. And the third point, with the wicked. Beloved congregation, it can happen sometimes that we ask one of our children to do a certain task for us, and that, well, after asking it, commanding it many times, they do it, but you see at their face they do not like to do it. It can even be like that you say, well, leave it, I'll do it. There's no use to do it in this way. I rather do it myself. I prefer to do it myself. If you are not willing to do it, it's not worthy to me. Stop it. I'll do it myself. Or maybe we ourselves do things sometimes while we are not willing to do it. Our heart is not in it. And that's a big difference. It's such a big difference. If someone is doing something for us with a willing heart, with love, or someone is doing it with resistance inside, we will experience that. We say, no, we do not like it this way. No. No, I rather do it myself. We read in Isaiah 53 that the Lord Jesus, that he was like a lamb, that a lamb to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. We remember how he was standing there before Pilate, and he was silent. Well, they were speaking many things against him. He kept silent. He could have been speaking to justify himself, but he didn't do that. He kept silence. Why did the Lord Jesus not speak? Because he was willing to sacrifice himself at the cross. He was willing to be cursed in a vicarious way as our substitute, to take the curse of his people upon himself because of his eternal love. And that is what makes his work so worthy. What makes it perfect? Because God is a God that knows everything. God, the righteous God, he is watching deep inside our hearts and souls. And he wants us to be obedient with our whole heart, to serve him willingly. He is not demanding only or in the first place our outward servants, but he is demanding and he has the right to receive an inward service. Do you understand the difference? It's a difference. If you only behave in such a way that nobody can say anything wrong of you, the way you go to church, the way you serve the Lord in doing things, or if you're doing it with an inward desire, if you do it with your heart, and the Lord says, give your heart to me. Young people, the Lord wants your heart. That means your love, that you will serve him willingly. The will has to do with your heart. Yeah, the heart has its reasons that even our mind doesn't know. And is our heart so changed by the work of the Holy Spirit that we serve him willingly? Oh, that we may look, that we might look upon Christ, the Lamb of God. That's the only way to have a changed heart, to receive a heart that is willing to serve the Lord. From nature, we are sinning willingly with our heart, with our soul, with everything that is inside. We have a desire to sin. Maybe not every sin. We can abhor some sins, but oh, we have a heart from nature, our flesh, that is desiring to sin. We sin willfully. That's how we are. Because of our fall in sin, that's how we are born. That's what makes our life so sinful. We do not only sin, we are sin. When we steal because we are a thief. That's inside. When we lie, then we lie because we are a liar. It's our nature. We do have a sinful nature. Oh, it makes you so ashamed when the Lord has opened your eyes and shown to you how you are. And then you have to confess, oh, I am sin. I'm corrupt inside. It is my heart that is a sinful. I'm sinning with my heart and soul. Isn't that what we have to confess this morning? And did the Lord show it to you in such a way that you became ashamed before him? That you became silent? That you couldn't anymore try to justify yourself like we do from nature? We have our reasons, we have our words ready, we speak against these things, and we try to justify ourselves. But I hope that you came at that point that you stopped to do that, that you became silent, that you bowed your head and said, it is true. The Lord is righteous, and I'm guilty before him. Oh, how bad it is that we have to see and to confess that we from nature, we sin with our hearts and soul. Isn't that true? That we have a desire to sin, that we rejoice in sin. That's how we see it happen in this world, and that's how our hearts from nature are. People read books about others that are sinning, like to see movies about it. They take those magazines that describe the sins of others and they find joy in it. That's how our heart is and our soul is. And now we see here a Savior that finds joy in doing the will of his Father. Even so much that when it costed him everything, he was willing to do it. with his whole heart and soul as a lamb to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. That's how Christ is. Oh, from nature we have such wrong thoughts about God. Like it was written in Isaiah, we esteemed him not. We thought that he was punished by God, but surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The things that we deserve, he took upon himself. He who is without guilt always served his Father with his whole heart. He didn't deserve to be nailed to the cross. It was because of me, because I have sinned with my heart and soul against God, because I was willfully sinning against God. He took my griefs and carried my sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded of our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Which way did you turn? What was the life that you lived by nature? Did the Lord teach you to show it to you? That you were like a sheep going astray in your unbelief, in your sinful desires, everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's the way to be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ came to pay for the guilt of all that would come to him. The righteousness of God was demanding, and he was willing to come. Like we see prophesied in Psalm 40. He was willing to bring the sacrifice that was necessary to save me. So will you ever again sin with heart and soul if you see that? What it costed the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't that the medicine that our hearts need to be healed from our natural sinful desires, so that we will no more love sin, but that we will hate sin. When we see that he received the stripes that I deserved, and that he was wounded where I deserved to be that. If you see that, it will make you wounded when you sin again. It will hurt you. You will feel something of how bad it is. If you know the love of such a Savior, oh, you will pray that the Lord will keep you from sin. And you will run away. When you see the love of Christ, you will flee from sin. You will hate it. It will be a bad experience. You will be sad about it, that you fall again every day with your thoughts and your words and what you do, your deeds in sin. You know such a life with Christ, watching him, looking upon him as the lamb that was so willing to be slaughtered, to suffer, to pay for my sins. I think that's making a difference, I'm sure. When the Lord is giving you a cross, and He does, that you look upon Christ and that you will behave in a different way. Isn't that what Peter is writing in the scripture part that we have been reading in 1 Peter 2, where he is writing about the Lord Jesus as an example for those that have a hard time when their masters are not good to them, that they would think about the Lord Jesus. Did we do that? Do we have those fruits in our life? When people behave in a wrong way, that we think about Christ, how he was treated by people, what they did to him, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he treated it not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteousness, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. You see it, that Peter is using this truth of a Savior that was slaughtered like a lamb, who didn't open his mouth, that he is using it as a means to change our life, that we would think about it in our daily life, so that we would be changed to his image, that we would receive the grace to show something of Christ in a world full of corruption and unrighteousness. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Oh, let's think more about Christ and his suffering. He was cut off. That's what Isaiah says about Christ. He was cut off. What does it mean to be cut off? That's the end. He was cut off out of the land of the living. I once read a terrible story of, I think it was in the 90s, that, well, it was the war in Yugoslavia, Srebrenica, and there was a full bus with people, and they stopped it. And the soldiers came in, and they took one of those people out of the bus, took him out of the bus, and there, and he knew it, because he was of a certain group of people, I don't know exactly, but they took him, and then they killed him. They cut off his life. He was taken from among those in the bus, and he, as the only one, there he went, and he was killed. Oh, if we are cut off from life, it's such a lonely way, isn't it? In fact, there's nobody that can help you if you have to die. You are alone. But I hope that you will not be alone. I pray that you may know that there was one who was cut off from life in such a way that he was willing to lay down his life so that he could give you life, eternal life in your soul, so that your soul might experience life even when you physically have to die. Then you will not be alone. He will be the one that will bring you through the Jordan of death to eternal life. Oh, this morning we see that the Lord Jesus was cut off from his life, he died. His body was broken, his blood was shed because of my sins. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. What does it mean that it's written here, he was taken from prison and from judgment? Was the Lord Jesus ever in prison? Do we read about that? No. He was not literally in a prison shut up, although they made him a prisoner in the last night of his life. But maybe there's a deeper meaning that it's written here, he was taken from prison. That word prison in Hebrew, it's also translated in a different way in the Dutch translation. It's translated in the Dutch translation with the word fear. And you could translate it with distress or fear. And I think we can understand that in the Hebrew that is the same word. Maybe you ever experienced that. That fear or distress can be to you like a prison. That you can feel as if you are caught in fear. You cannot come out of it. And how strong was the fear that the Lord Jesus, the distress that he experienced in the last night of his life when he was creeping in the dust because of that he knew that the wrath of his Father was laid upon him for the sins of his people. And he is taken from prison and from judgment. Oh, he went in it, in the judgment and in prison. But then, at the end of his life, he is shouting, "It is finished!" And he gave his spirit, his soul, in the hands of his Father. And so he is taken from that prison of fear and judgment. And who shall declare his generation? What does it mean? Who shall declare his generation? Yeah. There's written in the Dutch translation, who shall declare his time of life, his age? We cannot declare that. Because he is the eternal God. He is dying at a cross. His suffering is so worthy because he's not only man, but at the same time he's the eternal God. That's why he could take in such a short time the eternal wrath of the suffering of hell at the cross. He, the Son of God, he became man. Who shall declare his generation? Or others explain it different. They say, well, this work of Christ is so strong, so powerful. It's having such a power that we see that there is a generation of people coming to be alive. People are born again. And all ages they are there. And who shall declare it? How many are born from the work of the Lord Jesus, to have his eternal life, to be saved from their sins, and to glorify God for all eternity. Who shall declare his generation? Who can understand how worthy, rich and deep, how strong and powerful the work of the Son of God is that he has done at the cross? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. Yeah, he gave his life. That's why he became man, so that he could die, and he was willing to do that. Do you know this Savior? He was prophesied by Isaiah ages before in all aspects. He is drawing it here. It is as if Isaiah was standing at the foot of the cross and watching Christ hanging there. And it happened that way. It's such a sure sign that the word of God is true when we see how it is fulfilled, what was prophesied. He was cut off out of the land of the living. And that's what we deserve. And if we die without Christ, we will be cut off for all eternity. And we will be dying for all eternity in the darkness of being without God and experiencing the wrath of God. So we need to be cut off before we die. Cut off our natural sources that we think we have, our own righteousness, our own good works, our own, you can complete it yourself, what you trust in to appear before the Lord, to stand before the Lord one day. Oh, I hope and pray that the Lord has cut it off. And that's not a good feeling. When we are cut off from everything, and there we stand as one who deserves to be judged with the eternal judgment. There you stand and you cannot offer the Lord anything. You cannot pay anything. There you stand as a guilty sinner. And you lost all hope. Because you experienced, I do not have the power to pay my guilt, to renew my life. You are cut off. You are worthy to be lost forever. You lose your life. You lose your hope. Did it ever happen to you? But that you saw in that situation, Christ, who was cut off willingly and made a perfect, a full satisfaction, and that you see everything I need and that I do not have, it is in Him. There is such a peace coming in your soul and such a joy that you know, well, now the Lord is satisfied. It is finished. And that you just rest in Christ. You know that? That you lost your life to find it in Him. It's no more me that is alive, but it is the Lord Jesus. That's to be saved for grace. There is grace in this Lamb of God. There is enough for the most dirty sinner, the most evil one among us. And I think it's me. Did you ever learn that you are the worst one? That will change the way you look to others, you behave to others. If the Lord really humbled you so much, that will change the way you see Christ. He will become the most beautiful one to you. Oh, you will have such a desire to know Him more. You will be prepared to lose everything for His sake, and we can say that. But mostly it is not true. It's grace when the Lord is making you willing to lose things for Christ. But if you learn that, if the Lord taught you to lose your life, yeah, You will know it. You will experience something of it. He was cut off from out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. So is there someone here who says it's impossible for me? Then it's possible. You understand that? Is there someone who says it's impossible for me? Then it's possible. Our impossibility is God's opportunity. If the door is closed in your life, oh, that you might see that Christ says, I am the door. If you cannot find a way of salvation, that you might see that Christ say, I am the way. I am your salvation. If you cannot keep your own soul alive, if you cannot give life to your own soul, that you might hear this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the life. So come to him to be saved for free. He is cut off from among the living so that you might receive eternal life. Children, think about Christ. Young people, think about Christ. Read your Bible and seek to find Christ. What is written about him? He is the rock. He is the foundation of my life. And he is there. There's power in the blood to wash your soul. Let us sing, before we continue, let us sing Psalter 4:22, the stanza 5 and 6. 4:22, stanza 5. How blessed, Lord, are they who know the joyful sound, who when they hear thy voice in happiness abound. With steadfast step they walk, their countenances beaming with brightness of the light that from thy face is streaming. 4:22, stanza 5 and 6. congregation. He was with the wicked, counted with the transgressors. And he was killed in the place where the criminals were killed. And that would be the place where his grave would be. That was the expectation. But then there happened such a surprising thing when the Lord Jesus died there at the cross. And he made his grave with wicked. Then the Lord God honored him in such a way that the rich people came to give him a grave with the rich. And with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. So the Lord is showing something of his favor in that Nicodemus came and Joseph of Arimathea, and that they gave him a new grave instead that he would lay there in a grave with the criminals, there that place where the criminals were killed. Oh, he was brought to that place to die there. And it could be expected that he would be buried there. But that didn't happen. Then the Lord showed his favor to his only begotten Son, that he was honored, although he humbled himself, that he came in the dust of the earth. Then two of the disciples came that had been hidden before. They didn't dare to come openly before. Then they came. When the Lord Jesus had died, he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich he was in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Here we have the Savior that we need. He made his grave with wicked. He came so low that he died there between two thieves at a cross. A most awful death, nailed to the cross. The way that criminals were killed, the worst criminals. And that is what we deserved, to die there as a criminal. That's what we are by nature. Isn't it the most worst criminality? To offend against God, to resist our Creator, to sin against a good and gracious God. Oh yeah, we deserve to die in such a way. And now the blessed Savior, who did only good, who brought the gospel wherever he could, and who fed people with bread, and who healed the sick, and who was so merciful, who was so full of love and compassion to everyone. And he is killed in the most cruel way. He didn't deserve that. He had done no violence. He had done no violence. Can you imagine that? A man in this world doing no violence. And neither was any deceit in his mouth. We are so violent in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds. And we are so full of deceit in the things we say. This world is a world full of corruption, deceit, and lies. Yeah. We see it around us. We see it in our own hearts. Oh, sometimes you think, well, there's no man that you can trust. And I do not even trust myself. Our hearts are so deceitful. We always try in the one or other way to make profit for ourselves. In the way that we present ourselves, or to make material profit, we are so deceitful. And now here is a man. He had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. He is perfect, he is holy. And now he is there hanging between robbers, thieves, murderers, and there he dies. And then his grave would be there, that shameful place. That's what we could expect. But then the Lord was ruling and governing it in such a way that those two men came to give him the grave in the grave of a rich person, to bury him in the grave, a new grave of a rich person. Wonderful to see this. And now the Lord Jesus, he went in the grave and sanctified the grave, so that when we will die and will be buried, that we know, my Lord, before we die, that we know when I have to go to be buried, my Lord was in the grave and he sanctified it for me, so that it became totally different. The dark grave is a gate for me to heaven. One day it will be opened and the body will be resurrected, and I will glorify God for all eternity. Do you have that expectation? Do you see, I deserve shame, death, and punishment, but my Lord took it upon him, and now I rest in him. I rest in his hands that are pierced at a cross, and his hands are faithful hands. There's no deceit in his mouth, and he has promised that he will not forsake me. Satan will not be able to take me out of his hands. Do you believe that? Maybe this week Satan tried to attack you, to make you discouraged, to show you your sins. But oh, that you would come as a criminal, as the worst sinner to this Savior, and see that everything you need is in him. That you stop to try to do it yourself. Stop. Stop today, for the first time or again, and come and sit down, O children of God, and find peace and rest in the wounds and the blood and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us now continue to read the form for the Lord's Supper. We continue to read the form for the administration for the Lord's Supper. We read the first part last week. We continue to read now with the second part. Form for the administration of the Lord's Supper. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord had instituted his supper, namely that we do it in remembrance of him. Now, after this manner, are we to remember him by it? First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, and that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly. From the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered in innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and had also taken upon himself the curses due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and had humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him. And finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner, also after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust of his to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelt in Christ as in the head and in us as his members, might have true communion with him and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness and glory. Besides that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love. As the holy apostle saith, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together one wine floweth, and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be all together one body, through brotherly love. For Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in words, but also in very deed towards one another. Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. Let us pray together. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood. Yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us, and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations, with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper, in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe an holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate, at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. Congregation, while the table is prepared, we sing Psalter 48, stanza 1 till 4. We sing Psalter 48, stanza 1, all ye that fear Jehovah's name, his glory tell, his praise proclaim. 48, stanza 1 till 4. Congregation, we all experience that we are weak. We cannot maintain our own bodies. If the Lord is not providing us with the things that we need to receive new life and strength, we would die. If we do not receive bread and food to eat and water to drink and other things, we would die. And so it is with our soul. If the Lord would not provide with His Word, with His Spirit, to give us what we need for our soul, we would die. And the Lord Jesus is teaching about that in the Word of God. He says, I am the living bread. Oh, what a strong and beautiful picture He is giving about His own life. He says, I am like bread. You need me every day. You need me to live. Without me, you cannot live. We do not have spiritual life in our own souls that we can bring up, but we need to receive it. So we need to be like beggars at the throne of grace of the Lord to receive what we need. And now this morning, we see that the Lord is so good that He not only giving His word that is preached, but He is also giving the visible signs in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. That He is giving us bread and wine as a sign of His body and His blood. And when we receive it with our body, oh, that it might be used by the Holy Spirit, by faith, to be strengthened in our souls. We need it. We have a fight of faith here against sin and Satan and the world. You can be so tired of it. And now the Lord is coming to encourage His children, to strengthen them. And the Lord says, it is blessed if you are hungry. I hope you experience that you are hungry. And maybe you experience it not so deep. But the Lord is inviting to His table all His children, those who need Christ. And it doesn't depend the depth of your experience. The Lord is looking for truth in your heart. If you, as a poor sinner, cannot live without Christ, you should come. You are invited. If you know, I cannot save my soul, I cannot give life to my soul, you should come to receive it from Him and rest in Him. How small your faith may be, how attacked it might be, but that you come so that you will be strengthened. Come, all ye that love and need Christ, come, all things are ready. There is still place at this table. There is still place in the heart of the Lord to save sinners. If it is impossible for you that you might look upon the Lord Jesus to see the possibility in Him, all things are ready. Come, who cannot live without Christ. Then we close this table the bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. I'll read you some verses from John 6. I'll read from verse 27. John 6, verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perished, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gave it you the bread, the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Let us sing now from Psalter 23, stanza 1 till 4. We sing from Psalter 23, stanza 1 till 4. 23, the God who sits enthroned on high, the foolish in their heart deny. Not one does good corrupt in thought, on righteous works their hands have wrought. We sing 23, stanza 1 till 4.
Thank you.
Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving. And everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commanded therewith his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord. From this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let us now pray and thank the Lord. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thy infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son for mediator and sacrifice for our sins, to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son Jesus Christ should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. O Lord, we thank thee for everything we receive this morning. Give us gratitude in our hearts, that we may know how much it is a gift of grace if we received faith, and that it may be strengthened this morning, and that it may be seen fruits, O Lord, to thy glory. not to boast in ourselves. Lord, we know that Satan will attack us. Oh, but we know that thou art able to protect us. Be with us when we go home, and bring us again this day in thine house to hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking through thy word to our souls. Lord, we pray it all in the forgiveness of our sins and to the glory of thy name. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.